gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Tuesday, that means Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com. Representative Jan Schakowsky, the rockin' congresswoman from the great state of Illinois, joins us to talk about, as I was saying, the political Flintstones background. Here we are again.
That's right. Like,
here we go. Rock, tree, bush, same thing.
Mm-hmm. Entitlements.
Crisis, right. Yes. Okay.
1-800. Stuff we've already paid for.
Right.
Doesn't affect the debts.
1-800, right, already bought that stuff, yeah. Isn't it, right, cutting spending in the future and stuff we've already see. I'm really, you know what, I'm going to try that in their honor, I'm going to try that with MasterCard today.
You should, yeah.
All right, 1-800-STEP-12.
I'd gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
I understand I bought a hamburger and burger last month, I'm not paying for it. Wanted to, like, extract some concessions from you, MasterCard. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy. Voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like Tom in Colchester, Vermont did. A love letter to my beloved Stephanie. Dear Stephanie Miller. I like when they use my whole name.
Okay.
I am a big fat homo guy, bleeding heart, liberal, pacifist, tree hugger.
Wow. Okay.
And I love you dearly. Good thing I'm gayer than an Easter basket or I'd become your stalker.
Wow. Can't get much gayer than that.
Don't let that stop you. It doesn't stop anybody else. Okay.
Maybe you have an Easter bonnet in your Easter basket.
Right.
Yes, that'd be gayer.
Or an Easter parade. P.S. I can't attend Sexy Liberal in D.C. What? But remind me what organization is benefiting. I'll make a donation. The Brady Center I'm forgetting the actual name.
Handgun violence?
Yeah, right.
Prevention of gun violence?
I'll find
something
it. Brady
like
Center.
Okay.
For,
the Brady Center.
Gun
yes.
violence. Yes, exactly. But I just talked to Roland, Sexy Liberal Tour Director. Very, very few tickets left for this Saturday night in Washington, D.C. Get it. Go.
It's now. A new year and time for a new inauguration.
And the President of the United States is once again Barack Obama.
Time for a new sexy liberal.
All right, sir, I guess I'll just have to speak to the people of my state from right here.
No, a new sexy liberal show.
January 19th. Inauguration weekend in our nation's capital at the Warner Theater, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour makes its 2013 debut.
We have serious problems to solve, and we need serious people to solve them.
Featuring Hal Sparks.
I have a lot of liberal friends who love this country enough to vote almost every other election. And
John Fugelsang.
Cable news, it should be called the stuff they air between Viagra and Cialis ads.
Aisha Tyler.
And now more bourbon, bitch, I'm thirsty.
And the queen of progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller.
Oh, you dirty sleep. Easy, sexy liberals. God bless you.
The long-awaited Washington, D.C. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show at the Warner Theater, January 19th.
I'm not sure boogity boogity cheese goes with bourbon.
Oh, anything goes with bourbon.
It goes with anything. Right. Right. Especially having to get through another debt ceiling debate.
Yeah.
All right. Alex in L.A. Oh, it's another. This is tiresome, I know, for you, Chris. Another I'm right. And you are wrong.
Uh-huh. I'm never wrong.
Hey, Scott. Did you know that if you Google Jodie Foster girlfriend, your name comes up fourth from the top of the very first page? It's the infamous rumor starter thread. Chris didn't seem to believe that it actually existed. In fact, he practically called you a liar. I know, Alex. I know. You accused me of being an email. I'm like, no, it
no,
was
I said it was one
internet.
Tweet.
No, it was not one tweet. It was
That's a, what you told me it was.
Don't you have a Stephanie Miller Google alert, for God's sakes?
I do, but it
I
only
had to hear about that
it only
Roland.
Sends real stories. It doesn't send fake stories.
Rowan called me at the DNC. He's like, I understand Jodie Foster got you into a better room. I'm like, excuse me? Yeah, and it was a whole internet meme at that time during the DNC. I guess you missed that. Oh,
I'm all over the internet all day long, and
maybe
I
need someone that's a little better with what you know is being on the internet thread.
Okay, bye.
Okay, see you. Slam. But who will play the door slamming sound effect if you
exactly.
go?
Exactly. If I'm gone, nobody's right? here to play the door slam.
Slam. Okay.
And if no one's there to hear it, does it act?
Never. Right. Are you actually fired or no? I have fake fired you so many times.
I know. You're fired.
Slam. Okay. Oh, you're back. Okay. Is that you drinking bourbon
yes.
with John Boner?
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So we were talking... This really, these ideas get floated, 14th Amendment, trillion-dollar coin that weighs more than 75 billion whales, according to Fox News.
86 whales.
Right. Okay. That's why you can't do it. It was way too much. Okay. President Obama yesterday rejected any negotiations with Republicans over raising the borrowing limit, accusing his opponents of trying to extract a ransom for not ruining the U.S. economy in the latest fiscal fight. Mm-hmm. Do you think they just do the template from the last time? These, like, AP? Probably not. They're just like, okay, again. He said, what I will not do is have that negotiation with a gun at the head of the American people. Here we go. Hostage crisis time. He said they can act responsibly and pay America's bills, or they can act irresponsibly and put America through another economic crisis, but they will not collect a ransom in exchange for not crashing the American economy. Obama, I love Mitch McConnell. Obama must get serious about spending and the debt limit.
He's serious.
Oh, no, that was Boner said.
No.
Mitch McConnell said he must get serious about spending the debt limit is the perfect time for it. No, it's not.
No, it's not. It has nothing to do with it.
Right. Boner said the American people do not support raising the debt ceiling without reducing government spending at the same time.
No.
He says no.
Where does he get that from?
Which American people are you talking about?
Right. Really? Like, what? This is the kind of stuff they say that is their own internal polling.
Yeah.
As they say about something they've just pulled freshly from their ass.
Clearly, the American people want Mitt Romney to be president.
Right.
The fact that he's not president is proof of that.
Exactly.
My bourbon-soaked logic.
Okay, the president yesterday.
Raising the debt ceiling does not authorize us to spend more. All it does is say that America will pay its bills. And we are not a deadbeat nation.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Now, shut the door before you started drinking this time.
You always drink before you slam the door.
I forgot. I was supposed to need the door open when I was drinking.
It's shame drinking. It's
important. American people want me to drink behind closed doors. Where are the smokes?
That is the most important thing. Honestly, the president needs to just keep saying that. That's what people don't get. This is not raising the debt limit is not saying, oh, yes, let's spend more. It's just saying we got to pay these bills. Now let's talk about how we, you know.
We got to pay the bills that Congress racked up.
Right. Right.
On the credit card.
Thank you.
Obama has nothing to do with that.
I know.
Congress is the ones who set spending, and they need to pay their own bills.
Right. Okay. The here it is again. The
meal. You don't go out to dinner and then, you know, eat all you want and then leave without paying the check. And if you do, you're breaking the law. And Congress should think about it the same way that the American people do. You don't. Now, if Congress wants to have a debate about maybe we shouldn't go out to dinner next time, maybe we should go to a more modest restaurant.
Sure.
That's fine. That's a debate that we should have.
Should go to Applebee's.
It's okay. I got a tab. I'm running a tab.
Chipotle would be fine for
dinner.
Maybe
you should go to the sushi sale, the day-old sushi sale next time. That's fine.
That's where you go.
I'm guessing that Boner's run out on a couple of checks.
It's only
not
because
he meant to. Just
because
he
got
drunk.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Spilled bourbon on the bills.
What's 10% of nothing? Here's your tip.
I'm guessing a lot of restaurants.
Here's a tip. Get a real job. Stop working at the tavern.
I'm guessing a lot of restaurants have called the next morning.
Yeah.
What he's in is just, you know, bourbon hangover.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I'm sorry. This is who now?
I've never been to a Red Lobster in my life.
This is Boner, Barfy's Bar and Grill again.
Who now?
Who now?
They probably have Virginia Thomas drunk dialing.
Oh, of course.
Collect his debts the night before. Okay, the president again.
And Republicans in Congress have two choices here. They can act responsibly and pay America's bills, or they can act irresponsibly and put America through another economic crisis. But they will not collect a ransom in exchange for not crashing the American economy. The financial well-being of the American people is not leveraged to be used.
Hooters? I've never visited Hooters. That's crazy.
We will ask Congresswoman Janikowski, but how...
Some other orange guy.
I don't understand how this plays out differently, though. If he's not using the 14th Amendment or the trillion-dollar coin, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, because he said they're not going to. It's like, well, yeah, they are. They just said it again yesterday. I mean, that was their equivalent of going, nah.
Oh.
Cha.
And not.
Yeah. Cha.
Maybe you are, but what am I?
Yeah, that's what Bonner said, basically. He said, cha. Yeah, we are.
Whatever.
So.
Whatever, Dad.
You're not the boss of me.
Yes. I was just going to say that. Yeah. The president. All right.
If congressional Republicans refuse to pay America's bills on time, Social Security checks and veterans benefits will be delayed.
Why do they hate the troops so much?
Veterans benefits. Bunch of freeloaders. 47%ers.
I like getting Boner's response in real time.
Yeah.
Okay. And one more with the president.
It would be a self-inflicted wound on the economy. It would slow down our growth, might tip us into recession, and ironically, would probably increase our deficit. So to even entertain the idea of this happening, of the United States of America not paying its bills, is irresponsible. It's absurd.
I'll show you a self-inflicted wound. I just freaking shot myself.
Thank you, Joe. All right. That concludes our John Boehner skit for this morning.
President in the chat room says that maybe America needs to visit the Used Foods Emporium.
Yes, right.
Herman Cain's Used Food Emporium.
Yeah, maybe we'll play that bit when we get
there.
Back.
The softest apples in town.
We need to eat somewhere cheaper next time.
Exactly.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human antidepressant. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stefana Mila.
Yeehaw, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Yes, in honor of the president's analogy that maybe we should pick a cheaper restaurant next time. Mm-hmm. That we have to pay the restaurant, but we can't run out on the bill. So we gotta, you know, not you gotta raise the debt ceiling. However, next time we should shop somewhere, you know, cheaper.
Come on down to Used Foods Emporium. Thanks to President Cain, all of our used foods are now 100% tax-free. This week's specials are assorted sun-dried mammals, only 99 cents a pound. You can't resist that crunchy goodness. Be sure to visit the produce department for fresh found fruit from neighboring grocery store dumpsters. We have the softest apples in town. That's a fact. While you're at Used Foods Emporium, stop by the hot used foods table for a wide variety of body temperature dishes freshly eliminated and regurgitated by our friendly staff all the livelong day. And don't forget, all of our used foods are 100% tax-free. This week, kids get free ABC gum with a purchase of $20 or more. Used Foods Emporium, now with 999 convenient locations.
That was Kenny Pick.
Yeah, right? President Cain. Eat.
Yeah.
999, as they say in Germany.
Exactly. All right. Kelly in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that sounds like a lovely place to shop.
Sure.
Hey,
sorry if you're eating breakfast.
No, I'm laying in bed watching you.
All right, go. Hello. All right. Hey,
Real quick, I've been listening to all of the chatter about gun control ever since that horrific incident in Newtown.
Yep.
And I want to jump on the other side of the coin as somebody who's been in counseling for clinical depression for over 5 years. Right. I know people with Asperger's syndrome.
Right.
I don't want a stigma to be attached to mental illness the way it was with Pitbull.
Yeah. Oh, no, Kelly, I hear you, but I don't think anybody is thinking what, Adam Lanza or Jared Loughner had is depression. You know, there are obviously different degrees of everything, and that's...
Well, no, I mean, when people talk about people who open fire on people, they talk about mental illness, but they don't categorize anything. But yet, the
right.
guy who took out all those poor children had, you know, was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome.
Right.
But I know a lot of people with Asperger's syndrome
of
who would never even touch
it. Yeah. Oh, no, of course. I mean, that, you know, look, Kelly, that's what I mean. I think the extremes of this debate are what are so irritating. It's like, obviously not everyone that's mentally, you know, the vast majority of people that are mentally ill are never going to do this. The vast majority of gun owners are never going to do this. It's, you know, it's some kind of combination of all of it, right?
Yeah, but I keep hearing the mental illness, you know, attached to these shootings. And I want the people out there to realize that I'm never going to kill it. I used to own guns. I had 3 guns, and when I was diagnosed, I sold them back to the stores where I bought them.
Yeah, yeah.
So there wouldn't be a paper trail attached to me in any way, shape, or form. And it wouldn't make it easy for me to, you know, to buy the farm.
Yeah, no, well, good for you. Chris, we've talked about, like, we've all been in struggle through depression, and I was too, you know, it would make me too lazy to do anything. It's like, you know, I think there are different types of mental illness, right?
Yeah, but a lot of people who don't have mental illness don't realize that, I don't think.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And they might lump everybody into one.
Yeah.
So, you know, just speaking up, you know, on behalf of the people out there who are suffering with this, I just want them to have a voice, too.
Yep, absolutely, Kel. Thanks for calling. Appreciate
it. And since Jody dropped you.
Yes,
that's why
I've been depressed. Okay, Kelly. That's why I'm depressed, because clearly Jody Foster broke up with me on national television.
Yeah.
Just, it makes me weepy and tired, depression. I don't know.
That's why you've been drinking bourbon all weekend.
Exactly. Look. Let's go to David in North Carolina. Hi, David. Welcome. Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing, Mama?
Good, good. Go ahead.
I love you guys, and I love that commercial.
Thank
you. That was classic.
Yeah.
But what I want to say is, regarding the debt ceiling, why don't we just go ahead, the president, go ahead and implement Article 14 of the Constitution?
Well,
and
know,
if the Republicans want to take this to court, let's go. Let's have that conversation. Let's explain to the American people why you don't want... You racked up 2 wars unpaid for, tax breaks to rich people unpaid for, don't want to pay the bills.
That's what Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi think, and I'm not sure why the White House is not... You know, I think the problem is, even on guns, even any kind of mention of things that the president might do on guns, they're already talking about impeachment. I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
That's the problem. We're in these just unprecedented times. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I was expecting applause. But I suppose stunned silence is equally appropriate.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Yay. Is it weird? It makes me so happy. And Rocky Mountain Mike has done a new song for her. Oh, it's my favorite. Claire Mary.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Tell Rocky, what's his name?
Rocky Mountain Mike.
Tell him to shove it.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Okay, but anyway.
Wait a minute. You just laughed.
We've never heard you laugh before.
But anyway, what I'm calling for
is. Is that any way to say thank you? He put a lot of work into that.
Well, good for him. Is that all he's got to do?
He does that on top of his real job.
Wow.
Oh, that's good.
He did it for you, Mary.
Whatever.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't know if he made the tequila song, but you're supposed to be politically correct. You used the term retard.
What?
You used the term retard.
Who did?
In your
tequila
commercial.
We didn't write that.
No, we didn't write that.
I don't know who did, but I have a handicapped daughter, and... You know, like everybody else, I find it offensive.
Right, okay.
You know.
Duly noted.
Duly noted.
Thank you. But anyway, the reason I'm calling you, yesterday you said something about the Tea Party, they're racist.
We were talking about a specific South Carolina Tea Party guy. He sells T-shirts with a picture of the president in tribal wear with a bone through his nose.
And they were selling, like, hotcakes, apparently.
Well, what about, like, when Bush was president, it was okay for all the T-shirts and all the stuff about him? Is that okay?
The village is missing its idiot. Is that
so if the guy wants to make money, let him make money.
Well, do you not think that's racist? It's racist, though, right?
Well, I hope he becomes a millionaire.
Oh.
But there's Democrats.
Well, right, but the T-shirts about George Bush weren't racist, right?
Well, yeah, some were, I would think. Yeah.
Really?
How were they racist?
Yeah. In what way?
Well, you know what? Go on the South Side in Chicago when Bush was president. Look at their shirts and their sayings. Yeah, they're racist.
What? In what way?
Yeah. They're racist.
What, example?
What did they say?
I don't even want to use the language.
Well, clean it up a little bit, but what? Give me an example.
Well, like Bush with a black face. Bush hates white people.
Bush with blackface? That doesn't even make sense.
No, that's not funny.
Exactly.
That's not clever.
That's the mentality.
On the South Side.
Well,
okay.
Whatever.
All right. Well, we apologize on behalf of the South Side for all the horrible racism shown to George W. Bush.
Well, not only him, a lot. As far as Democrats, the Black Panthers.
Oh, right.
God.
Uh-huh.
Okay, wouldn't they be considered racist when they put a bounty
I'll ask both of them.
On George Zimmerman's head? Isn't it violence?
What?
There are no Black Panthers
anymore. The new Black Panther
George Party Zimmerman.
The new Black Panther Party consists of about three guys.
Marianne. One of them said something that was, and we condemned him for that.
We did.
He said something.
Well, yeah, they put
about
a bounty on this guy's head.
Right, and that was incorrect.
And then you got the Black Panther when it was voting day. He's standing out there intimidating.
Thank you for
people.
Using the singular about the Black Panther.
Yes, because there was one guy,
and he was at a Democratic precinct, though.
If it was in my area,
right.
and I saw that, you know what I would do? But I'd be a racist. I would get a white sheet.
Huh?
And then that'd be
funny.
I'd be a racist, right?
Right.
Yes,
right.
Oh, but the black guy, the Black Panther, who's standing there like a thug.
He was at a Democratic precinct.
He was at a Democratic precinct. Who was he intimidating?
Okay, so somebody could stand there with a white sheet, too, right?
Oh, well, he was just standing there being black. He wasn't.
Well, yeah. Good for him. Somebody
that's a Ku Klux Klan costume
sheet.
You're talking about.
Somebody could stand there with a white sheet, too. But they would be
right,
racist.
But that's not the same.
Again.
He can't change his skin color. He wasn't doing
And
anything.
He wasn't at a Republican precinct. It was a Democratic precinct.
Right. He wasn't intimidating anybody.
Yeah, he was.
No, he wasn't. Who was he intimidating?
He's intimidating just being black?
Yeah, like the last election when there was a couple of them out there with their clubs and intimidating people. But that's okay.
Where was this?
Oh, that's okay.
Where was this?
The last voting.
So what about all the Tea Party things where they have the anti-Obama slogans and they're all armed?
Yeah.
And all the sayings are vaguely, threatening, obviously. That's not intimidating? Why are they all armed at Tea Party rallies?
You shouldn't threaten anybody. But they did the same thing with Bush.
No,
okay, but Obama...
What do you mean?
Obama,
what did they do to Bush?
Obama... For some reason, this guy, he's the president, but he knows nothing. He blames everybody.
Huh?
He's not a professional man. He doesn't speak well. The organized
speaks a lot better than you do.
Mary, I thought the criticism of most people on the right is that he's too good a speaker, right? That he's slick and he's just a good speaker.
No, he's not slick. He's not slick.
He's not a good speaker?
He likes to talk with the black thing, like the one speech you made with Katrina. That was the real Obama. He just wants to be known as, I'm getting the first black president. Yeah, you're the first black president, the worst president.
All right. Well, that's your opinion.
What I think, too, this is my opinion. I think that man is 100% black.
You do?
I don't think he's white.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Does that matter? That wasn't really his mother?
I have no idea, but to be honest with you, I usually when a person's mixed, you could see it. You know,
When a person's
mixed.
Remember
what George Zimmerman, he had to open his mouth. If I had a son, that's what he would look like. Why is he opening his mouth when he don't know nothing about the facts, this, that?
Well, because...
Go have a beer, maybe.
You don't think it's a tragedy when any kid gets gunned down when he's going to get iced tea and
Skittles? Well, you know what? You know what, Stephanie? Why don't you get the facts? Get the facts.
Well,
the man
facts.
Was defending
okay.
himself. And
you're defending yourself against
defending
an unarmed teenager.
Well, against tea and Skittles.
When you got a thug, first of all, why was he a John Doe for 2 days? His parents are so concerned. Why is that? Why in his backpack, which will come out? Why did he have a screwdriver? Why was there jewelry?
Wait a minute. Yeah. Where are you getting
you
this from?
You don't know any of this?
This came out when this first happened.
Came out where?
Went away.
Where
did
it? That? Yeah. Give me a citation of your
then
facts. What's
away.
The source? What's your source?
It was on one of the news shows.
One of what of the news shows?
That big head Nancy Grace, one of them.
Big head? Wow. How did Nancy Grace get dragged into
this? Yeah.
She's an idiot.
Oh, you feel her head is too large?
No, no. She's just an idiot.
Oh, she's an idiot.
Oh.
Okay.
Well.
All right. Well, and why is it relevant that the president, you think he's all black? What is so?
Because just a little example. Like that Kate with eight show, okay, she's mm-hmm. got eight kids.
Right.
Well, you know what? I know people that are Korean and white, okay? You could see, like, the husband,
sure.
John, he's half white. Those kids are 100% Korean.
Oh. Oh, okay.
100%.
Oh, okay,
there's
so
nothing,
you're...
Nothing,
so,
but,
so they're not Americans.
But you don't think that's Obama's mother, the white woman that we've seen everywhere?
I have no idea.
Oh, you don't know. Okay. Well, she couldn't be if he's all black, yeah. right?
Well, maybe she adopted him. I don't know.
What
does race have anything to do with anything in this conversation?
It has everything to do with this conversation.
All Republicans are racist, right?
Right.
Well, you pretty much
proved our
Democrat,
point.
No. Democrats, again, with the George Zimmerman. Remember on the Congress floor, you got all these black people, the one with the big hat on, right off the bat.
We got too many black people in Congress with big hats?
Big hats.
They're killing our
Who?
Black,
Who has the big hat?
Our black boys, blah, blah, blah.
I think she's been watching Foxy Brown.
All the guns.
Who's the black congressman with a big hat?
I have no idea, okay? They all got together when this happened, and
Do you think Congress people should not be allowed to wear hats? What's your point?
No, the point is she opened her big mouth.
Oh, it's a black female congresswoman
right.
with a big hat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
She opened her big mouth like Al Sharpton, that scumbag.
Oh.
So black women with big hats shouldn't open their mouths?
It's got nothing to do with big hats.
Well, then why did you bring up her hat?
White Congress people open their big yaps all the time.
All the blacks in the Senate, Congress, whatever, they all got together right off the bat. They're killing our boys. You know what, honey? You know, they're killing each other. And
well, that's true, too.
Doing.
But that doesn't mean...
They're
okay.
killing each other.
Right. I guess that's true, too.
So,
Mary, can I just say...
concentrate on that?
You were spectacular today. You
no,
really were.
Get the Army, National Guard,
against
go to the city of Chicago,
hats.
Clean it up.
Well, you know, the Army has a lot of blacks.
I don't care what
you know,
they got. I don't care if they're green, yellow, blue. Clean it up.
Clean what up?
Chicago.
Oh, clean up Chicago. All right.
The violence.
You know, you
well,
could.
It's against the law for the Army to go
you
in.
You could move somewhere
yeah.
else.
National Guard,
Posse
whatever.
Comitatus.
I have extra bedrooms. You want to come? You want to try a layout?
Yeah. Okay. Unbelievable.
All
you
right, well,
you know
fine.
What, I'll
listen,
you,
you don't...
Okay.
I gave you a nice jingle. I'm offering you a roof over your head.
We spent money on you, Mary.
The ingratitude.
Yeah, we have one thing in common. We have one thing in common.
What?
Okay. I'm a dog lover, okay?
Oh, see? Oh. You would love Max and Fred.
Well, I have my boy.
What do you have? What kind?
He's a Scotty.
Oh, what's his name?
His name is Fadooz.
Who?
Fadooz.
What's that?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of foreign kind of Sam sounding name is that?
Like little stinker, it means.
Oh.
In Croatian or something?
No, in Italian.
Oh, Italian.
Fadooz. Ah.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. Good. Well, look, we bonded.
He's an Italian, Scotty.
But he's handsome and romantic, right?
He's real handsome.
Oh, he's handsome. All right. Look, Mary, we had a magical ending. All right. Thanks for calling. Miss you already.
Thank you.
Miss you already.
Thank you.
Okay.
Of course you'd like Max and Fred. They're white.
That was the weirdest. Tim Ward with the tip in at the buzzer. That's right, Mary. carry their big white dogs.
You don't need to throw a sheet over them.
That was the weirdest conversation officially I've ever had on this show. And that's saying something, I just have to say. Vadoos. Who's it got by, Vadoos?
George Zimmerman.
Go get mommy's white sheet. Go get mommy's white sheet. She's going to...
Kid with iced tea and Skittles.
I told you that story when I was living in New York, right?
Right.
There was a... I came around the corner to go to Central Park with Max and Fred.
Uh-huh.
And there was a black gentleman in a, you know, business suit, yes, and whatever. And I was thought he was going to say, oh, hello, nice dogs. And he just said, racist, you racist mother... with your white dogs. And I was like... And ironically, I was wearing, like, an Obama T-shirt. I was like, what?
Huh?
No, I'm... Okay. All right. Ford, that
wow.
Was... I just... Can I speak for all of us? Say that was...
Can we take a break? Mary. We need to digest that.
I'm a little winded.
Okay.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Fresh Republican outrage. You keep listening, she'll make more. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah!
Wow.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. Chris in Yankton writes,
I got out of a meeting, innocently tuned into the Stephanie Miller Show, and bam, a big face full of Road Flare Mary. It was like being hit with a bar of soap in a sock. Wowzers. Yeah, big white block of white Aryan soap.
Only ivory soap. All right. Yeah. All right. Although we did bond at the end. We had magical dog bonding.
Right.
Who's got a handsome romantic Scotty? That's what's something new we learned about Mary. Mm-hmm. Vadoos. Is that his name?
That's Vadoos. It.
Hi, Vadoos. Okay. She's still
that's
watching.
Probably something really obscene in Italian.
It's like,
you know what? That kind of sounds like something obscene. Yeah. I don't know that we should be repeating that.
Yeah, probably. She's tricking me into losing my FCC license.
Exactly.
Thanks a lot. Arriva Dirchke to my FCC Dirchke? License. Yeah, whatever. To my FCC license. Here we go. Josh in Memphis. Hi, Josh. Welcome. Hi, Josh.
How you doing, Miss Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead.
All right, I got two things for you, and I'll try to be quick.
All right.
Number one, the whole biometric hand grip thing was my stepdad, Sean Tanksley's, idea.
Oh, really?
And I called in and told y'all in about five other conservative radio stations as well.
Is that, so Josh, I'm sorry, is that the fingerprint recognition?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, awesome.
So I'm going to hang on after I hang up so y'all can take my address and send the royalty checks.
Okay, great, awesome. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right.
Number two, remember how... when Walmart was going to be open on Thanksgiving, it all came out that Walmart only pays their people $8.85 an hour,
right,
and Costco pays their people $17.50 an hour.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I would like a website, or maybe the Occupy movement could get behind this, to where we can find out who pays their employees a livable wage and who does not, mm-hmm, and then maybe we can actually use capitalism to swing it that way, mm-hmm, you know.
Yeah,
all of a sudden,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
becomes a popular thing to do.
I personally shop at Costco, not Walmart, for my giant,
absolutely,
bins of wine.
Well, also, in Los Angeles, you're hard-pressed to find a Walmart.
Right.
Yeah.
There's that.
The Costco is closer.
Walmart, right, I've been to is really depressing. It's a soul-sucking.
Yeah. If you want to hate your fellow man, go to Walmart on a Sunday.
Although, I will say,
and
if you're
really
a woman with
dimly
a bad...
lit and just, oh.
If you're a woman with a bad body image, like most women I know,
mm-hmm,
go sit on the bench in front of the Walmart in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. Saying. You will feel,
what are you saying
model
about the people of Grand,
nothing,
Rapids, Minnesota?
Wow!
Yeah, the world's biggest pants I saw at a Walmart in Vermont.
Yes.
Wow! You could sail the
wow
boat with that.
Let's go to Jim in Jersey here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Well, for first thing, I thought that... that Prince Dearly Beloved was a symbolic thing between you and Mary.
I don't know. Well, we have our own code.
Yeah.
Anyway,
go
ahead.
Marriage.
I'm just joking on that one. But on a more serious note, I have a rhetorical question.
Uh-huh.
What happens when corporations and special interest groups spend $2,000 million on elections? Answer, even when our six-year-olds are slaughtered the receivers of these base of these campaign contributions still refuse to adopt basic consensus laws. Private campaign contributions cost all Americans a fortune, and until we adopt public campaign financing, we're going to pay in blood and treasury. It's like a 10-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
They get a return. They run the numbers. They give a buck in contributions. They get back like 20.
Yep, absolutely. Speaking of the gun debate and recent participants,
yeah,
Ted Nugent had some thoughts.
Oh, what were his thoughts on the gun debate?
I love when people go, everyone should have a place at the table. No.
No.
No, not really.
Crazy people like Ted Nugent?
No.
Probably wouldn't add to the conversation.
It's probably like this, very much like the Jaeger guy.
If there's ever gun laws, I'm going to start killing people.
Right, which is why there needs to be
right
gun laws.
Yes, to protect people from people like
you. Right. Ted Nugent told a conservative radio host, gee, it's so hard to find one of those. How did he do that? That President Obama's gun control plans are psychotic. he said that increased gun legislation is, quote, engineering slaughters.
Sure. Fewer guns means more dead people.
Right, yeah, right.
That makes total sense.
Right. He said Obama's dream already exists, and those are called gun-free zones, and that's where the most innocent lives are lost.
What
kind of monster would want more of these? Because if you ask for more gun-free zones, if you further disarm innocent Americans, you are literally engineering slaughters.
Where's your evidence for this?
But wait, there's more.
Oh.
Obama's decision to have Biden and Attorney General Eric Holder lead the task force, said Nugent said, is like hiring Jeffrey Dahmer to tell us how to take care of our children. So there's that analogy that makes no sense.
Argue with that logic. Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
Also, herp derp. Derp herp derp.
Hermigerd.
Hermigerd.
Okay. Let's go to
We're going down that rabbit hole again. Great.
Wow. Jim, it's a combination of Ted Nugent and Road Flair Meredith Space. We're Jim in Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, first off, I think Ted Nugent would be able to recognize the psychotic behavior.
Yes. He's acquainted with it.
Yes, look in the mirror.
He lives it. Have you heard about the new NRA free download app for your iPhone? It's a part of their Target Range series.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a first-person shooter where the targets are coffin-shaped.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm.
And
now,
they just released it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just today, I think, or yesterday.
Yesterday.
And now, you can. Here's...
Wait a minute. I'm confused. You're shooting at coffins?
Yes. Right. Coffin-shaped targets.
The targets are coffin-shaped.
Oh. That's fun.
And you get to choose various assault rifles.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. All right.
Yes. And what I find most disturbing about that is not that the NRA is full of gun nut crazies. I mean, we know that's their leadership.
Yeah.
And it's not that they have target practice, because we expect that.
Yeah.
What disturbs me the most about it is that they now have somebody on their team that is tech-savvy enough to create this thing.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah,
technology.
Technology,
not our
Wayne
friend.
Wayne LaPierre is still blaming all the gun violence on video games, and here they've created one.
Yeah, here there you go.
Okay.
Okay.
Nice.
All right, yeah, we're going to talk about him and the Sandy Hook families, and if you watched any of that yesterday. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative Jan Schakowsky of the great state of Illinois. Coming up, we'll share some of Road Flair Mary's thoughts about Chicago with her, see what she can do about that. Meanwhile, we will be in Washington, D.C. this Saturday,
January
19th, inauguration weekend for Sexy Liberals. All four Sexy Liberals, Aisha Tyler, Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, me, opening the show, Chris, Jim, Jackie, two huge surprise celebrity guests. Tickets going very, very fast. We will probably be sold out by the end of the week. Proceeds, the sexy liberal cause, some of the proceeds going to the Brady Center to prevent gun violence. Very, very excited about the big show at the Warner. Get it. Go. SexyLiberal.com. SexyLiberal on Facebook. StephanieMiller.com, the regular old horse-drawn website. You can email us there like Steve did. Steph, I absolutely love to listen to your program. I may even break down and buy a SiriusXM radio for my home so I don't have to sit in my driveway or in a parking lot listening to part of your show on my car radio.
Wow.
That's a Jim Dandy idea. You don't ever want to miss a moment. Or might we suggest the podcast? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
And you're also an app.
I am a woman, a myth, a legend, an
and
app.
A dessert topping.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
The dessert topping is forthcoming.
Somebody's working on that.
Yeah, as long as it's a white dessert topping.
Okay. All right, Mary. Here, you know what? Like, silver linings in the dark cloud that's my life these days. Looky here.
What?
After I go to D.C., I am going to Charlotte, North Carolina,
uh-huh,
to take my mom out for some damn lobster, as she calls it, for her 90th birthday.
Why does she call it that?
She just does. I don't know. It's been for you. It's what she wants. It's what she wants, and she's 90, and I'm going to take her out for some.
Okay.
The girl's night out date. Yeah, it's coming up. Could this be better timing? Beaver invades South Charlotte neighborhood. That's where my mom lives, in South Charlotte. This could end up being a good trip for me.
Huh.
One of the homeowners there said, we've had a lot of wildlife. This is our first run with beaver. Oh, listen, Jim, we all know your first run with beaver can be very...
Of course.
You know, a little troubling.
Fun.
Fun, but, you know, different, troubling. The Canterbury resident said two other neighborhoods are in the path of the eager beavers.
Mm.
So, yeah, everybody stock up on box wine.
I was also...
Beaver's on the way.
I was also sent a story this morning.
Yes.
That I thought I should read along these same lines.
Thank you.
Cox pulls out of Beaver.
Excuse me?
Sorry, what?
Pardon me?
Well, Cox Cable has pulled out of Beaver, Arkansas.
Good to know. Good to know. GTK, make a note of it.
Thought I'd let you know that.
Okay.
It's been known to happen.
All right, then. Let's dive into the right-wing world.
Oh, do we have to?
Oh, Todd Starnes. He's fun.
Yeah.
He's this is on the...
Starnes.
He's on American Family Radio.
If the federal government, under President Obama, is allowed to confiscate our weapons, that really is the last line of defense to protect our constitutional rights.
Start
and I can assure
now.
You, Buster, that should Buster? The federal government confiscate, go door-to-door and confiscate our weapons, I'll be on the first Delta Airlines flight back south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Oh,
you come on down, brother.
Come on down.
Yeah.
We're going to have a hootin' nanny. We're going to go succeed.
Woo!
Then we're going to get our asses kicked again.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah.
So
the,
none of
the
that
evidence,
station...
the evidence that he's going to confiscate your guns is that he hasn't confiscated your guns.
Right.
Or even talked about confiscating your guns.
Yeah.
That's how you know he's going to do it.
Going door to door.
Because you know what those people are like.
Hello. I am President Obama. Might I have your gun?
Apparently he has a giant Fred Flintstone fist.
Right. Swinging the cat gets locked out the side.
Wilma!
The president is not coming door to door to confiscate your guns. And furthermore,
you are an idiot!
I'm gonna get on flat slap with Mason Dixon line.
Yeah, and then what? You gonna take on the U.S. Army again?
Yeah, there's some Republican lawmaker that's calling for impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
Of the president, I love this part. Oh, here he is. Let's say, okay. Representative Steve Stockman, please and thank you, Republican of Texas, has threatened to file articles of impeachment if President Obama uses an executive order to try to reduce gun violence. I will seek to thwart this action by any means necessary, including but not limited to eliminating funding for implementation, defunding the White House, and even filing articles of impeachment. The president said Monday, I'm confident there are some steps we can take that don't require legislation that are in my authority as president, and where you get a step that has the opportunity to reduce the possibility of gun violence, then I want to go ahead and take it. There are 14 actions, Jim, the White House could take related to guns without Congress. None affect the possession of any kind of firearm or ammunition currently allowed by law. Obama specifically mentioned how we are gathering data, for example, on guns that fall into the hands of criminals and how we track that more effectively when asked about some of the things. So he is not, once again, let's review, coming door to door to confiscate your guns. Stockman issued an impeachment threat, by the way, with the image of the flag from the Texas Revolution, favored by gun rights supporters for its image of a cannon with the words, come and take it.
Wow.
You are all allowed to keep your cannons, should the government...
Surprised they didn't have the don't-tread-on-me snake flag.
Good luck against the drone with your cannon. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Alrighty then. Mark Levin on his radio program.
Even though I sit behind this microphone, I try to be civil and so forth. I can barely contain my fury about what's going on in this country. I'm just being honest with you. Right. I can barely contain it. I'm so frustrated by this tyranny. You have no idea.
Tyranny.
Now, we can analyze it. We can intellectualize it. Mm-hmm. We can parse it and so forth and try and unravel it. But I'm just telling you from an emotional point of view, it is just so damn infuriating to see the greatest country on the face of the earth run by a bunch of Lilliputians who are constantly attacking it from within.
Lilliputians?
Sure.
I don't. He was very nonspecific in that whole rant. What exactly are we?
He's coming for your guns.
Oh. Is that what that was about?
Yeah, I guess.
Lilliputians? Aren't they too little?
Yes. They couldn't even pull the trigger.
No, uh-uh.
They'd just be jumping up trying to grab your gun.
Hey! Come on, get it! Come on!
Quit it, guys!
Hey.
Quit it!
They couldn't carry your gun
away. They
can't
even get up to waist level.
Right.
Like, what is that, Vern Troyer? What are you doing?
Oh,
come on now.
Okay. Anyone who knows Stephanie Miller, and there aren't many, knows she has no audience. She's been up and coming for 20 years.
Oh,
she's sarcastic and ultra-left wing.
Yeah, you know how I hate sarcastic people. You know what those people are like.
I wonder if I'm Lilliputian. Or he thinks I look fat in this outfit. Okay. Britt Hume.
But he thinks you look good in that hat.
All right. Britt Hume on Fox News.
He's going to go for a great big all-in-one immigration bill. He and the Democrats in the Senate and a few Republicans are said to be working on this rather than trying to do it piecemeal. Well, doing it piecemeal has the advantage that it might be easier to pass piecemeal. But it seems that the president is at least as interested in setting traps for Republicans, particularly House Republicans, as he is in getting a bill passed.
That's a trap?
Yeah.
He's been talking about this since his entire presidency, comprehensive immigration reform. That's a trap?
Yeah.
So he's going to actually put forward something. Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently the Republicans, according to Britt Hume, aren't very bright.
Ah.
Because they didn't see it coming.
Herp, derp.
I fell in the trap again. Okay.
Very good.
Okay.
Church,
all right. Brad. Okay, come on. This is like Will Ferrell character. Is this guy real? Brad Blakeman?
Yes.
Sounds like a
fake
Acorn.
I'm Brad Blakeman.
Hello.
And this is the news.
Well, he's talking about what Colin Powell said over the weekend.
Oh.
That that there might be a threat of racism running through the Republican Party.
Really?
Oh,
yes. Okay. All right. Stay classy, Brad Blakeman.
I say to Secretary Powell, if our party was like that, then why would you consistently call yourself a Republican? And if our party was like that, or you perceived it to be that way, what have you done to change it? Did you run for office? No. Were you a delegate at the convention? No. Did you speak at the convention? No. Did you try and influence the party platform if you thought it should be changed? The answer to all that is no. As a matter of fact, he supported Barack Obama in two elections. When is a Republican a Republican? I don't think the secretary is a Republican he thinks he is. I think he's become an armchair general when it comes to the Republican Party, and I think it's easy to send accusations out, but I don't believe that there's any basis of fact to what he perceives to be a problem, an endemic problem within the Republican Party. I just reject it.
Well, let's see. He was Secretary of State in the last Republican administration that was the one right before this one?
Yeah.
So that's a pretty recent,
and
pretty prominent
Republican.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And he pointed out that when Republicans use terms like shuck and jive, black people don't take that too well.
No.
Well, a Republican wouldn't care about that. So you're not a Republican, clearly.
Hmm. Chuck Hagel, Republican.
Right.
He's
but
not.
A little bit of breaking news.
Oh,
Senator
yes,
Chuck Schumer has come out in support of Hagel for Secretary of Defense.
All right.
So there you go.
Yeah, sure, all those Chucks stick together.
He's Chuckist.
They're all sitting on
he's
the Chuck wagon.
Yeah.
He's Chuckist against people that are not Chuck.
Well, there are a few Democrats who are also against the Hagel nomination, and so, the Democrats are pulling together.
Okay. Good. All right. I thought I stopped when you said came out. I was like, what? Chuck Schumer, what? He's dating Jodie Foster. What's happening?
What?
Okay. Joe Scarborough on about Drudge.
This weekend, I went on Drudge, and at the top of it is a story of survivalists that are buying property, arming themselves, and building walls out west. You have Sean Hannity, who is talking about secession. You have another talk radio host, whose name isn't even worth mentioning, that is talking basically about how the federal government is coming in and taking weapons. And, you know, there's a call to arms. And they're going even more extreme right than they were 4 years ago. This is such a recipe for disaster for the Republican Party. I thought I would never say it, but if this party continues on this trajectory, we're going to get wiped out in 16.
Oh no. He's not going to be able to play in the Republican reindeer games either.
No, he's no Republican.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Oh, boy. Yeah, paranoia and firearms. There's a good mix.
All right. We have Rush Limbaugh for dessert on Right Wing World when we continue after the break here. Oh, and speaking of what Joe Scarborough was talking about, we'll tell you about Glenn Beck's $2 billion libertarian paradise he's building.
Wait a minute. Is this going to compete with the Citadel that you were talking about yesterday?
There's competing right-wing compounds.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
it's going to be like Dollywood.
Yikes.
Dollywood.
20 minutes after the hour, a skosh more right-wing world after the break on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Lying off the left bank of the American mainstream, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, let's finish up the right-wing world. I love this. Conservatives whine about liberal Hollywood and Palin bashing at the Golden Globes. All right.
Last night at the Golden Globes, a movie, Catherine and I watched this HBO movie, Game Change, a movie adaptation of the book.
Mm-hmm.
I told you, we watched it, and it weren't for the fact that we were working. We'd have walked out. It was a cartoon. Well, this show last night, it won 3 Golden Globes so that everybody involved could walk up to the stage and once again bash Sarah Palin. Knowing full well there wouldn't be anybody there to defend her. And once the left targets anybody for destruction, there's nothing standing in their way.
Okay, so there was like one joke.
Right.
Is what they mean by, this is what, who wrote this? Oh, Mediaite. The perpetual outrage brands of conservatives came out of the woodwork to express their anger at liberals in Hollywood with any sort of award to an HBO movie that portrayed their lowly 2008 presidential election hero in any other way than how she would like to be portrayed.
Hmm.
Fox News radio host Todd Starnes, there was a frenzy of tweets.
Dirt Starnes!
Oh, my God.
Dirt Starnes, Jeremy
Gertz. Mediaite calls him the king of being upset about things.
Yeah.
It lambasted them as honoring Hollywood thuggery and contributing to the war on women.
That's
by
hilarious.
The way, the Game Change was written by people that worked for the McCain-Callan campaign that were Republicans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is what the joke was. Game Change producer Jay Roach said, this was the joke. He said, now with Julianne Moore and Tina Fey, we have 3 of the most incredible impersonations of Sarah Palin, counting Sarah Palin.
Right.
Yep.
Wow. So that cranked up the outrage. Mr. Starnes continued his fury by saying it was a night of Palin bashing, calling on President Obama to condemn the Palin bullying.
On.
One joke at the Golden Globes. The president needs to call it a drone strike.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Even goofier than the Palin-related conservative whining media writes was their pre-show griping at liberal Hollywood was actively punishing films like Zero Dark Thirty and Argo. Oh, you mean by giving them multiple nominations?
Yeah.
And wins? Oh, boy. So the Golden Globes, of course, proved them wrong. Homeland, Jessica Chastain won for Zero Dark Thirty. Ben Affleck obviously won Argo. And the media points out during his acceptance speech, the normally America-hating Affleck thanked the troops as well.
Yeah. Right, sure.
So that's
You're not allowed to do that.
America. What? Based on what?
But ascribing quasi-conspiratorial motives for Zero Dark Thirty and Argo not getting enough awards nominations is a bit over the top, especially considering how the Globes panned out and the fact that two CIA movies were awarded for pretty much every Oscar under the sun, aside from Best Director. So,
yes, but they didn't get all of them, which is proof that Obama's keeping the man down.
Liberal bias, blah, blah, blah.
And are you really that proud of Sarah Palin? You don't think she's ridiculous?
Come on.
Okay.
You know you stick with that. You know you do.
No judgment of any
Linda
kind.
In Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Linda. Linda took a break, a potty break or something at an unfortunate time. Chuck in Santa Fe. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Yeah, your road clarinet really knocked me off my feet this time.
Right.
So I was just about to go to the liquor store and get myself a gallon of
vodka. Travis just said he was chatting her up about the weather. He said when you find her sweet spot, she turns all cuddly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good,
Go ahead, Chuck.
Well, I was going to talk about the Dead Sea.
Whoops.
Oh.
Hello.
They want to extract more. Oh. They want to extract. Hello?
Yeah. We,
okay, go ahead.
We hear you.
Yeah.
All right. You know what that was? No. It was somebody calling him to tell him he was on the Stephanie Miller
Show. Hey, you're on the radio.
In the precious 20 seconds of time I had for him.
Guess
what?
Did you know that you're on the radio?
You're on the radio.
Yes, I just called.
Oops, I ruined your call. Okay. Somebody call Chuck and Santa Fe. Apologize. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Come on, let's face it. Your entire job could be done by a bulletin board.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour.
You're more valuable than a bulletin board.
Right, thank you. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce has a sick.
Yes.
He's a little bit sick today. He's rescheduled for tomorrow.
That's right.
Some great stuff at Esquire.com. So we will talk to Charlie tomorrow about all that. Because, oh, by the way, he has a great piece. Clarence Thomas said something.
He did.
What he said.
It was
pointing at Scalia.
It was like when Forrest Gump finally talked after that. After the people had been following him running across the country.
I'm pretty tired. Think I'll go home now.
Clarence Thomas sounds exactly
right.
Like
That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually said, "I'm going to watch porn. I'm going to go home watch porn and then take a nap." Okay.
Yeah. Apparently, he broke a 7-year silence to tell an unfunny joke.
Right, and it didn't even get recorded because he didn't really. It was other people were joking and laughing at the same time, so it just came out as like herp derp. That's what the court reporter actually wrote.
Herp derp.
Porn herp derp.
He couldn't find his what Scalia said stamp, so he actually said
like, herp derp.
Herp derp. Okay, let's go to Charlie in our.
What does Scalia think?
Charlie in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Charlie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad I didn't have to follow the road for Mary.
I know, right?
I have a question about this debt ceiling thing. And everybody talks about how Social Security is going to be delayed and all this good stuff. How come nobody talks about the pay for the congressmen and the senators? I've called several times to people like Boehner and Cantor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Asking, how much does it cost just to turn the lights on there?
Yeah.
You guys just sit in a chair and do nothing.
Right.
And
we're going to start cutting
millions of dollars. It's got to be every day.
There you go. If you want to cut the useless fat, I say start with the congressional Republican salaries.
Exactly.
Not Jen Schakowsky's. We'll talk to her in an hour.
She's awesome.
Yes.
She's rocking.
All right. Oh, I told you about this. Jim, there's competing right-wing crazy compounds that you might want to. Choices. That's what America's about. Glenn Beck is planning to construct a self-sustaining libertarian community in Texas to the tune of $2 billion. Yes.
It's like two timeshare sales companies sitting across the hall from each other fighting
Where
each other.
Where was the Citadel going to be? Isn't that the other one? The compound?
That not in Idaho?
They have an amphitheater.
But how are they going to agree on anything in their libertarian community?
Paradise.
Everyone will just have their
the
own.
Anarchy.
Exactly.
Somalia.
I want what I want right now. Well, you're an idiot.
As long as they're walled off, you know, they can.
A lot of traffic accidents, no lights, no stuff, right. Nothing. Just go, mm-hmm. Go, do whatever you want.
No water.
Right.
No roads.
No. That's French and
no
gay.
No electricity.
That's infrastructure.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he's planning to construct a self-sustaining libertarian community. He dubs it Independence Park.
Chaos Park.
It will be styled after Galt's Gulch,
oh God,
a fictional
really?
Utopian commune in Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. Independence Park will... Oh, would you like the fun facts?
Oh, boy.
It will provide its own food and energy, produce television and film content. Ooh, that'll be... host research and development, serve as a marketplace for products and ideas, while also housing a theme park and serving as a residential community. A little like Wally World right inside there.
A libertarian theme park?
There's a water slide.
I don't know. There would be no safety measures.
Right.
Water slide, there's no... It's just
roller coaster people flying out all the time.
It's just you climb to the top of a ladder and dump water over your head from a bucket and jump off. That's a libertarian water slide. No regulations of any kind.
No.
Beck will create a massive, quote-unquote, National Archive Learning Center where people can send their children to be deprogrammed and elected officials can come to learn the truth.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
Shay from the chat room wants to know if this is going to be called Glenn Becky 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 Stan Stan.
We have to find that bit. Where is that? That's exactly what it is. It's Glenn Becky 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 Stan. Wow. That's, I hope all those shares aren't gone, Jim. We might be too late to get in there. Okie dokie, then. Speaking of right-wingers, Wayne LaPierre used the right-wing media's Nazi comparison, you know, President Hitler, to warn of mass executions of gun owners. Okay, Chris, remember I said seat at the table? Some people should not get a seat at the table. That's
no,
not a reason.
Crazy.
No, exactly. Conservatives in the media have been quick to draw comparisons between Obama administration's reported proposals to crack down on gun violence to Adolf Hitler to suggest that the president is going to confiscate blah, blah, blah. These historically inaccurate comparisons owe part of their genesis to the NRA, which has compared proposals to regulate firearms to orders during the Holocaust. In his book... America Disarmed, Inside the UN, and Obama's Scheme to Destroy the Second Amendment. Oh, that's a... I needed a plane read on the
Who's
way to D.C.
Moron? Right.
This is by Wayne LaPierre.
Ah, well. Mm-hmm. Okay, then.
He likened the UN Small Arms and Light Weapons Destruction Day to Nazi propagandist Joseph...
Goebbels.
Thank you. Order that books authored by Jews be publicly burned. He then suggested the burning of guns could help set the stage for mass executions of gun owners, just as Goebbels... Wow, thanks for playing really bad analogies. He concluded by asking, will the mass burning of firearms help set the stage for mass executions of gun owners?
No.
Says no.
Only in your fevered little brain.
And thanks for playing really bad analogies.
And furthermore, that was the most insanely.
What you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Right.
At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
No.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Okay. All right. Fortunately, apparently there are still shares left in where you can buy into Glenn Beck's community.
Are you tired of your government taking away liberties and freedoms you can't quite name? Are your vague platitudes and third-hand anecdotal facts falling on deaf ears? Well, come secede, or sec-D with us, in the Teabagger Utopia.
Glenn, Becky, 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 stand, stand.
I will personally come to your house and help you pack.
Your hard-earned money is yours to keep. There are no taxes in
Glen, Becky, 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 stand, stand.
Of course, there are no roads, bridges, police, fire protection, no teachers, hospitals, libraries, garbage pickup, or sewage treatment in
Glen, Becky, 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 stand, stand.
But hey, who cares about that big government nonsense? You'll feel like our founding fathers as you struggle against the elements, fending off wild animals, and your fellow teabaggers when provisions run low and their survivalist training kicks in.
Get off my land!
Who needs government? It's overrated.
Join us in Glen.
Becky, stand, stand.
We have freedoms with none of the responsibilities. You want to shoot your gun in any direction? Go ahead. Want to lock your wife and children in the basement? Nobody's asking questions. Remember, freedom isn't free, but with a small down payment, it can be yours for a song.
Above the fruit is
Glen. Becky, stand, stand.
Our future is in the past.
Wow. That's Kenny Pick and Shape.
Wow. That was perfect.
That's exactly what...
We write the comedy bit, and then Glenn Beck does it.
That's yep. right.
I forgot about the lack of sewage treatment. Ooh, it would be smelly. Glenn Becky Stannis. You'll be able to smell it from anywhere. It'll be like, where is it? Just go towards the smell.
Yeah,
just
run towards
that way.
It.
It's downwind.
That's a smell of freedom.
That's right.
That's what that is. All right, Sonny in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sonny.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I finally got through.
Yay!
I've been calling since the primaries.
Oh.
Because there was something that just this just gets me. I'm Mexican American, meaning I was born in Indiana. My parents are from Mexico. They're passed away, but I'm a Vietnam veteran and a Union man.
Mm-hmm.
And when Romney was running and those lunatic Republicans were saying that if they put Marco Rubio with them, that they would get the Hispanic vote.
Right, because you
would, Latino
because you are easily tricked.
Yeah, because we're idiots.
Right, because you'll be like, oh, it's brown skin like me. Right.
It would be the same thing as if Romney would need the African-American votes and he would choose Alan West.
Right.
It's
yeah.
the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. As it turns out, Hispanics not easily tricked.
Right.
And it's not like they're one organism with
exactly.
one brain. Cubans and Mexicans and Salvadorians
right.
don't
but
necessarily agree.
You know what?
Today.
There are left-wing Cubans and there are right-wing mm-hmm. Cubans as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Terry in Indiana. Hi, Terry.
Yes.
Hi, Terry. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I enjoy your show to begin with, and whatever happens with current TV, I hope you guys land on your feet.
Oh, thank
really,
you. Me
really
too.
Really like your show.
Me
but anyway,
too.
As far as
we like our show too.
yeah. As far as the gun debate, I think everything that's on the table that's being proposed, and I'm talking about the high capacity clips and the background checks and the assault rifle. I think most gun owners can agree with all of that, but I think Joe Biden at the end of that needs to say, and the gun debate ends here, because I think the fear is the reason the NRA is so big is because it's like an insurance policy for the gun owners, because they believe it won't end there, that it will go to the handguns, it will go to your rabbit rifle, that there's people on the other side that just, you know, you'll end up with maybe a squirt gun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, I think if he would just say, well, I'll put it in the Constitution or make it rock solid or something there that
yeah.
Be an insurance.
Yep, I got you. I think just to throw them off, you should start with that. I'm coming for your squirt guns first.
Yep.
Okay, 45.
Rile them up.
Yeah, exactly. All right, the family of the Newtown victims spoke yesterday. Very powerful. And if you saw any of it, we'll talk about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She puts the broad back in broadcasting. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Kelly in West Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you this
good.
Morning?
Good. Go ahead.
First, I want to apologize to Chris.
What?
Oh, why?
That's not necessary.
Called before the holidays and jumped him for messing with West Virginia.
Oh.
And he had said, you know, well, I was from Virginia and blah, blah, blah. Well, last night I was with some friends and we were making fun of Kentucky.
Oh, well, see, there you go.
You know the best thing that ever came out of Kentucky?
What's that?
I-64.
Hey, you see what you did there? Whee! Okay. All right. The president talking about the gun debate yesterday.
How we are gathering data, for example, on guns that fall into the hands of criminals and how we track that more effectively. There may be some steps that we can take administratively as opposed through legislation.
Right. From which the right extrapolated that means he's going door to door to get your guns.
Sure.
With his big cartoon hand. Right. Okay.
We got your guns.
Okay. Yeah. The president again yesterday.
What you can count on is that the things that I've said in the past, the belief that we have to have stronger background checks, that we can do a much better job in terms of keeping these magazine clips with high capacity out of the hands of folks who shouldn't have them, an assault weapons ban that is meaningful, that those are things I continue to believe make sense.
They're coming for our guns!
Right, right. Yes, okay.
Sound the alarm!
And Mayor Bloomberg yesterday as well.
Enough is enough. It's time for Congress and the White House to put public health above special interest politics.
Yeah. I'm glad they're looking at it as a public health issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not as a crime issue.
Yeah. Well, everybody said that. If, you know, X, Y, and Z were killing this many Americans,
exactly.
kids, whatever, a year, we'd
be... There'd be a telethon
right
for
now. Yeah, exactly. Somebody was saying we regulate toy guns better because they, obviously they were harming kids.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw any of the Newtown families with the pictures of their kids. I mean,
yeah.
I just the visuals before they started speaking were... But anyway, several parents of children who were killed at Sandy Hook Elementary School joined the national debate on gun violence on Monday, gathering to begin sketching their response to the massacre by helping start a nonprofit organization intended to help prevent the kind of bloodshed that they just went through. The national dialogue, they called for a national dialogue around issues of mental health, school safety, and what they described as gun responsibility. Boy, I'd like to see the NRA, you know. I mean, it's amazing that when it is personalized like this, like, what, are you going to stick to your same talking points? These are human beings, and they're not even asking for specific things. They're just,
right.
you know, so a lot of them held pictures of the children they lost as they sat on stage. Some wiped away tears. It is a sad honor to be here today, said Nicole Huckley, whose son Dylan, 6, was found dead in the arms of his favorite school aide, Anne-Marie Murphy, who apparently died trying to shield him. She said, I still find myself reaching for Dylan's hand to walk through a parking lot, she said. Or expect him to crawl into my bed for early morning cuddles. It's so hard to believe he's gone.
Yeah.
Oy, every single one of these stories made me cry. Yeah. Tim Macris, one of the 17 founders, said, we love the focus of the president. We love that the vice president reached out recently to talk directly to the families and chose to meet with him. We're looking for dialogue. We're looking for ideas. We're looking for a national discussion to take place. We don't want to just come out and say this is what we stand for, this is what we believe in. We want to encourage a national discussion on this. Do something different. When you look at what's been done in the past, it hasn't gotten us very far. We have to do something different. And I think that's exactly right. David and Francine Wheeler, Rachel Maddow interviewed them last night. It was really, it was incredibly powerful. Their son, Benjamin 6, was killed. They said, I thought this was so touching. I don't know if you saw them say this. They said, parent is defined as point of origin. They said, what I've recently come to realize is that I'm not done being the best parent I can be for Ben. Not by a very long measure. If there's something in our society that clearly needs to be fixed or healed or resolved, that resolution needs a point of origin. It needs parents. It was so touching the way they said it. They said, we realize we're never going to stop being Benjamin's parents.
Yeah.
And they wanted, you know, and I think it comes from a really sincere desire to help other parents not have to go through this. So, anyway, powerful stuff yesterday.
The NRA's answer is more guns and more bullets.
Right. Right. Jim in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hello,
Jim. Go ahead.
Hi. This kind of hard to follow that, but I wanted to make a comment about Ted Nugent, that if he actually believed in what he said, that he would allow everyone that comes to his concerts to bring a gun in.
Yeah. And, exactly.
And what could possibly go wrong?
Maybe a machine gun with 300 rounds. You know,
yeah,
just...
Jim, that is a great point. How come there's metal detectors at concerts, you know, including his, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Lorraine in on the south side of Chicago calling to talk to Road Flair Mary. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay, I'm fine. I don't think Mary is from south side Chicago. I am from south side Chicago. I live on 91st in Michigan. When George Bush was president, there was no hatred, nobody selling T-shirts with a black face or anything. I think Mary is either from up north or she's from the rural area. And when she want to call black kids thugs and everything, she should comment on the four white kids that killed two young 22-year-old black boys this weekend and try to dismember them, and they couldn't do it, so they tried. So they started playing video games next to the bodies.
My God.
Oh, my God.
I know.
That just happened. It just happened this Saturday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That just happened. Okay, yeah. Chicago, we had a 506 killings for 2012. Yes, it's a lot of gangs out here. It's a lot of guns out here, too. And they're illegal because they can also go next door to Indiana and go to the gun shows and transfer them over here.
Yep.
Just like, you know, fireworks is illegal in Illinois, but they're not in Indiana. So they can go to Indiana and transfer them here, just like guns. You know what I'm saying? I'm so sick and tired of everybody. Every time something happens, it always has to be black people's fault. It's not right. It's not fair. And Chicago is a very good city.
It is.
I love Chicago.
I love Chicago.
Lorraine, so you disagree with Murray that the biggest threat to America is black congresswomen in big hats?
Oh, my God.
All right.
Yes.
All right. I have to say that was one of my favorites.
Yeah, they're big hats. Look at him with her big hat.
Okay. Deb in California. Hi, Deb.
Hey there, love.
Hello.
I'm still crying about what you mentioned about the parents.
Yeah.
My daughter just found out that she's pregnant, and I'm really excited about it. And at the same time, I'm petrified.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Deb, how can you not relate to, you know, one of the other moms was saying, you know, I put two kids on the bus that morning and one came home.
Oh.
No one should have to go through that.
Thank you. And that isn't actually why I called. This isn't the reason why I called either. I'm calling because we've got to stop allowing the lying, the projection. Every time we hear the right-wing world, it's almost like, I mean, especially when you listen to the things that Rush Limbaugh says or any of those people, they're saying only exactly what is true about themselves and
projecting
every single time. And this is the reason I called. I have been job interviewing. I'm the person who always calls and says, oh, my God, why am I worried about my basic bills? Well, so I've been interviewing. I've been looking for work for, 3 years. I used to be a self-employed person, and now I've been looking to be an employee because I only have one client left.
Honey, hang on. We got a hard break here. We're going to have to come back with that. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, Representative Jan Schakowsky of the great state of Illinois. It's just the gift that keeps on giving today, Illinois.
Yeah.
First, we had Road Flare Mary from Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And now,
Who's the caller? Who's on line three? Why in Chicago is Art my crack team?
Hello, Art. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Art.
Oh, Art. Hi, how are you?
Good. How you been?
I wanted to wish you a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah. Hey, listen. The root cause of these problems we have in school. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Oh, dear.
It's okay.
You have that flu everybody's got?
No.
Oh.
Anyway, it's not the guns. I worked in those areas. I worked at Englewood. I was a market manager. I think I told you. And I worked in these different areas. It's the love is gone. And this is a statistical fact.
It's a statistical fact the love is gone? What kind of love?
Yeah, love is gone, right. And
but enough about my life. Go ahead.
Hey, listen. It's single parents. 70%, 65 to 70% of these children in Chicago, white and black, are single mothers. The father's not there. Where's the... See, in a family...
65% of the children in Chicago schools
What's
come
your
from single parent homes?
What is your source for that? Is that statistic?
In a paper.
Oh, it's in the papers.
Look it up. Look it up.
60? Did you say 65 or 70%?
65.
65% of.
270. Yes.
65 to 70% of all children in Chicago schools come from single parent.
I didn't say that. I said the ones that have caused the problems.
Oh, only the ones that have caused the problems.
65 to 70% of problem
no
causers.
What do you mean problems?
In a family structure, you got to have the mother, which is eternal love. And you got to have the father,
well,
which is
not everybody's mother.
And the child is obedient to both.
Oh.
But you don't have that. You know, see, let me tell you something. Okay. You can have all the gun laws you want because the next one is going to be a bomb.
Oh.
The very first one, 1926, 38 children were killed in Michigan.
Right.
Somebody threw a bomb.
Right.
So we're going to have to watch the bombs, too.
Presumably it was a single parent.
So let's get at the root problem. Let's get at the hate we have for each other.
Oh,
okay.
I have love for you, too.
I have love for you, too, Art.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Art. Love you. Oh, well.
That's the problem. We got to have love back.
Where is the love? All right, Art, I'm with you. Right. I'm with you on the whole love thing. All right.
However,
what's going on in Chicago today?
There is no National Bomb Association, however.
Right.
Wow. All right. So I now bonded with Rhodes Lamary and Art today.
I mean, if hand grenades were the problem, we'd want to regulate those, too.
Sure.
Oh, in fact, in honor of Art and the love, we haven't played Mary's whole song in hour three, have we?
No, we have not.
Even though she would like Rocky Mountain Mike to shove it, I think it is a masterpiece and a tribute to Rhodes Lamary. And so here now again.
Every time I think that I'm the only one, Aunt Boots says she will call on me. Every black show's just driving around with Escalades and they're all welfare queens. Or she'll send Rhodes Lamary. Tales of all the bales and tribulations that only Rhodes Lamary sees. Well, I bet I'm sure she's out to lunch, and her empty cupboard has Sweet Captain Crunch. Sweet Captain Crunch.
Sweet Captain Crunch.
Sweet Captain Crunch.
Sweet Captain Crunch.
Sweet Captain Crunch.
Sweet Captain Crunch. Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yahoo! All right. Here's the sad thing. If I brought her on stage, a sexy liberal in D.C., the crowd would go insane. Mary, come on. You know what? I'm going to stop and pick you up. Stop by Chicago, pick you up for the big show. All right. By the way, I will not be using my GPS because this could be me, Jim. Lion, GPS, hate it. Hate Siri, hate GPS.
Recalculating.
Woman drives for 900 miles instead of 90 thanks to GPS error.
Oh, God, really?
I would do this.
Did the boss set the GPS?
To avoid highways?
Yes.
Yes. Gawker brings us the story. I've read plenty of crazy GPS stories. This has to be the best. 67-year-old woman drove for 900 miles over the course of 2 days.
Oh, God.
Because
did she know where she
GPS
was going?
GPS error combined with her complete lack of attention. Apparently.
Wow.
Her actual destination, 90 miles away, the woman started her journey in her home in Belgium. She was going to pick a friend up at the train station in Brussels. 93 miles north from her point of origin. Said she turned on the GPS, which told her to drive south to Croatia.
Really?
Well, technically it'd be southeast, but okay.
Still, that's not
right.
90
she
miles
said,
away.
I was distracted, so I kept driving. I saw all kinds of traffic signs, first in French, then German, finally Croatian. That might be a tip. That might be. The traffic signs start changing languages. Might
Let's
be
see.
Time to just
Belgium,
stop at a gas
French
station.
And Flemish.
Right.
Not Croatian.
No. But I kept driving because I was distracted. Suddenly,
what could distract you for 900 miles?
Suddenly, I realized I was not in Belgium anymore.
Or Kansas.
I don't know. Maybe she had some kind of, 80s mixtape, something that just, you get jamming, just headbanging.
On auto reverse, right, just right. Flipping over and over.
You're getting your go-go's groove.
Cha-chunk, cha-chunk.
It's like, okay.
See, I'm trying to figure out 900 miles is in kilometers.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, cat people. Can what? Your cats do this? Ordinary house cat beats professional wealth managers in year-long stock picking challenge.
Boots could do that. Jazz, not so much.
No?
No.
Jazz is more of a herp gerp.
Yeah.
He's the Irma Gerd cat?
He's the Irma Gerd cat. He's like, ooh, bird!
While the professionals use their decades of investment knowledge and traditional stock picking methods, the cat selected stocks by throwing his favorite toy mouse on a grid of numbers allocated to different companies.
That's great. That's like Paul the Octopus.
Yes!
All right. So what's today? Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Okay. Oprah was she already on CBS this morning?
Yes.
Talking about her Lance Armstrong interview. I think it airs Thursday.
They're going to air it in two parts over two nights because it was an hour and a half long interview.
Oh, dear. After years, obviously, of denials, he offered a simple I'm sorry to friends and colleagues and then admitted his use of drugs during the interview. Armstrong confessed to doping during the interview just a couple of hours after his emotional apology to the staff at Livestrong Charity. You know, I'm reading all these stories, though. He's worth, I don't know what, I guess $100 million. But this, I think, opens him up to all kinds of lawsuits.
Well, the U.S. Postal Service, who sponsored his team forever, they're probably going to be asking for their money back.
Yeah.
No, it's, I mean, I, oh, boy. Yeah, I got to see that, though. All right. And people still talking about Jodie Foster's speech. Chris, when I came out, we went through this where I think you gotta, like, nobody's ever gonna come out again if everybody gets criticized for how they do it or when they did it or whatever.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah. And the speech was a little hard to watch in parts. It was a little like, it was very raw. It was very honest, I thought, and emotional, and it was...
A little nervous.
A little nerve-wracking.
Because it was
like, you know what it was for me? It was like watching a kid on skates. You're like, oh, okay, what are you... this is the AP story. Jodie Foster's rambling, fascinating, and intensely personal remarks at the Golden Globes were not merely the watercolor moment of the ceremony. They were the big moment for the gay community, where many advocates, though not all, were cheering her on Monday for finally referring publicly to her sexual orientation. While some were criticizing the actress for not uttering the words gay or lesbian. Oh, for God's sakes, really? Did anyone miss the point of what she was saying? Or for waiting decades to come out, others were saying she deserved to come out in any way she chose and with the other whatever words she happened to favor. And I agree.
Yep.
Somebody at the Human Rights Campaign said she is to be congratulated, no matter how awkward or inarticulate it may have seemed to some. It took an awful lot of courage. Well, yeah, that's what it's right. That's what happens when it's not like a slick speech with a teleprompter. It was very real. It was raw. And that's why it was a little unnerving, like children on roller skates.
It was a little rambling.
Yeah, it was. I mean, good parts you were like, oh, seems a little bitter. Oh, that seems a little angry. Oh, but you were like, you know what? It's her truth.
Yeah.
And good for her. On the HuffPost's Gay Voices page on Monday, an entertainment writer called Foster a coward and said she could have helped millions of people by coming out.
Come on.
Okay.
First of all, it's like the least well kept secret in Hollywood.
Exactly.
I mean, it's, can't really be news.
Harvey Fierstein, I was surprised, said, trying desperately to be fair to Jodie Foster, but what she did last night by standing in front of millions of people and being too ashamed to say the word lesbian or gay sent the message that being gay is something of which to be ashamed.
Furthermore, I hate her in her ass face.
You know what? Not everybody is built to be a flag waver.
Right.
You know, not everybody's brain is constructed that way. Some people just want to live their lives, you know, and...
Yeah, I mean...
Not everybody's an activist.
And I thought that was actually the line of the speech about if you had been in the public eye since you were a toddler...
Right.
You know, you might value your privacy like that, too. So.
Right.
And plus, I think that, you know, they say the John Hinckley thing had a huge effect on her, too. I think
It would have a huge effect on anybody.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And by the way, I still am on the page of, if you Google Jodie Foster girlfriend, I come up.
Hmm.
And that's why I'm obviously defending her.
Okay. Yeah, because you want to get back together with her.
I did not appreciate it being broken up with on national television.
Right now, you're basically standing on her lawn with a big boom box playing in your eyes.
In your eyes. Do you dare me to do that later? Because I will get on TMZ like that.
I totes dare you.
Delusional radio host Stephanie Miller, who's never even met Jodie Foster, is currently standing on her lawn.
Spinning. It's a sport of the future.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
More than our share of the nattering nabobs of negativism.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. Now you can even present from your iPad. Try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try Free button. Type in that promo code, Stephanie. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Bobby in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bobby.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Oh, I just have three things. First of all, the debit. I am sick of that. I'm a senior citizen, and
are you talking about the debt limit?
Yeah, the debt.
Debt limit. Okay.
You know, it's gotten Jesus. Yes, I'm talking about that. The president explained, because I'd never heard of that. I'm 71 years old. I've never heard of that.
Well, that's because no one has ever challenged it like this group of Republicans. No one has ever said we're not going to pay our bills in the United States.
And I want the president to stand firm on that.
Yep.
I pay my bills.
That's right. That's right,
you know,
Bobby.
The Congress got to pay their bills. They started this in 2000, three wars. Pay your bill.
There you go. That's exactly what the president said. He just said it yesterday.
Raising the debt ceiling does not authorize us to spend more. All it does is say that America will pay its bills.
There you go.
And we are not a deadbeat nation.
If you've like Bobby, write your congressman, say, pay your bills. I pay mine.
I'm sick of this debit.
Right. All right. This story do we just for you out of Celebrity Stack.
Uh-oh.
Ryan Gosling says his pecs are like pets.
Ah.
I'm talking about your beloveds, your muscles.
I don't consider
after a while,
them pets.
They're like pets because they don't do anything useful, but you have to feed them and take care of them, otherwise they'll go away. I feel a bit goofy having them. He said, to tell you the truth.
Well, then stop working out. You feel goofy.
Do you feel goofy? Probably not.
No.
Even though the back of your neck looks like a package of hot dogs. Okay.
Can't help that.
In a nice way.
Oh, thank you.
Jim, this
one's
for you.
You say the nicest things.
You're welcome. Actress Miley Cyrus says her latest girl crush is Katy Perry, and she dreams about kissing that girl.
Mm. Well, hey now.
She previously admitted she had a crush on Kristen Stewart.
Okay.
Kristen Stewart will go for it.
Who would have a crush on Kristen Stewart? She looks, she's skeletal. I mean, Kristen Stewart always looks like she's sucking on a lemon.
Because she's malnourished, I think.
And she's just, I don't know, deeply unpleasant.
How do you know? You don't know her?
I've seen interviews with her, and she just seems really unpleasant to be around.
All right. Okay.
Katy Perry, on the other hand.
Katy Perry looks like she'd be a blast.
Oh, yeah, she seems fun. Okay. Miss Iowa?
Oh, bless her heart.
Bless her heart. She responded to a question about marijuana legalization by saying the drug should only be used recreationally and medicinally.
Well, then...
Oh, and then there was another way it was supposed to be used, but I forget.
She will be the next Republican vice presidential candidate.
Or the next Miss Teen South Carolina. Maps. And
maps. U.S. Americans don't have access to maps.
She said, I don't think it should be used for anything but recreational and health care.
And but also...
Gawker writes, finally, someone willing to stand up to the hemp rope industrial complex. Take that, Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it might just cup runneth over today.
What?
It's Billy in Texas. Why, it's just Art in Chicago, Road Flair Mary.
Hanging around.
I don't know what's happening today.
In that Texas town.
Yeah.
With a phone call from the range.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Just
yeah.
Let him go.
Yes.
If you want to know how his talking points are strange.
All right, fresh from cheating on me with every other progressive radio host. Hi, Billy in Texas.
Hi there, Stephanie. I'm so glad that you guys are so together on me. That's so cool.
Thanks.
Listen, Happy New Year to you.
You too, sir.
And I wanted to reiterate what Art said. It is the way we treat each other in this society, and it is not the weapons. The breakdown of the social mores in this country is the problem.
Well, one of the
ways
we could treat each other better would be by not shooting each other, and that would be made exponentially harder if you didn't have a gun.
Well, you know what? If that guy had a single-shot shotgun, he could have done the same amount of damage.
No, I don't think so.
By the time the police got there, Of course he could. And if
perhaps
we could have guards in our banks to guard our money.
Right. I know. Got it.
Why not have a guard in each school to guard our kids? What's more important?
Listen, I said I think we should bring all ideas to the table, and I acknowledge that I'm not a parent, and I would be nervous sending my kids to school right now. So Barbara Boxer out here, very liberal senator, right? She said
real big
she,
problem
she
that
talked
I've
about National
Mr.
Guard
Obama
in the schools.
Right now is the fact that he is threatening to rule by executive order, and that's going to get him impeached if he does that.
Okay. The things that he's talking about don't have to do with taking guns.
You know, he can't just trample all over the Constitution.
There are things that he can do by executive order. It has nothing to do with taking
Every
any guns
is.
Or banning any right. guns.
When he starts right. throwing around things right. that are unconstitutional and ruling by
They are not unconstitutional. They have to do with gathering data. That's all. That's
yep,
that's the
it.
Only thing he mentioned
no,
yesterday.
No.
Yeah.
No,
yes.
Didn't
yes.
you
no,
see
it's
the...
Not.
It's,
yes,
you know,
yes.
It's a full-on assault. And you can't trust the government not to misuse that information. They've done it before. They've done it to me.
Ah, what'd they do to you?
Well, I got denied a gun purchase because I had a speeding ticket that went back about 9 years.
Well, then you shouldn't have been speeding, should you? Well,
oh, really? See, there you go. That's the whole thing. That's what they told me.
Really, I find it hard to believe you got denied a gun permit because you had a speeding ticket.
It's the honest
really?
Truth.
Really? Okay.
They said I was... a fugitive from justice because I hadn't paid that ticket.
Oh,
you
well,
have.
There you go.
You should have paid that ticket.
There you go, you scofflaw.
Sheesh. Stephanie went to criminal court and paid her ticket.
I had to
ticket.
Go to criminal court's building on Christmas Eve for
yeah,
my dog off a leash ticket.
I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.
I imagine going to the criminal court's building on Christmas Eve is totally like night court. You know?
Oh, totally.
With Marky Post and...
that was quite the assortment of folks. It's kind of like the bar scene in Star Wars. Yikes. Wow. I didn't know hair came in that color.
Oh,
all right.
Dear.
Wow.
My friend, he doesn't like you.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. The point is, it enabled me to have a gun permit so I could shoot that guy in Reno just to watch him
sure.
die. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Jan Schakowsky of the great state of Illinois next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Tequila. It's her weakness. Three shots, she'll tell you the truth about anything.
All right, our HAL 2000 computer apparently has died.
Our computer crashed. We have no music.
We have no music, no nothing. All right. That was a moment of silence for my relationship with Jodie Foster.
Aww.
Okay, all right. 34 minutes. Well, it was fictional, so it's a fictional moment of silence.
Sure.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. The president, obviously, talking about the debt ceiling yesterday at his press conference. President Obama.
Raising the debt ceiling does not authorize us to spend more. All it does is say that America will pay its bills. And we are not a deadbeat nation.
There you go. Who joins us now? But Representative Jan Schakowsky of the great state of Illinois. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning, Steph. Glad to be with you. I understand you've been getting some calls from my friends in Chicago.
it's Chicago Day here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Uh-huh.
They don't sound like they're your constituents.
No, maybe not. Maybe yes. I don't know.
So, obviously, you heard that. I thought the president put it very well, right, that you just cannot say it enough. The debt ceiling has nothing to do with budget cuts or anything going forward. It is paying bills that we have already racked up, right?
That's so important. I don't know what some of my colleagues don't get about that. It's like getting your credit card bill and saying, you know, I'm protesting paying. I'm not going to pay it. Because there are consequences, including your own personal credit rating will go down. And, you know, you'll get calls from collectors, and it'll be, pretty bad for you. Worse, of course, for the federal government. And as the president pointed out, Social Security checks, veterans benefits, they'll all be delayed. Might not be able to pay our troops or small business owners or have food inspectors or air traffic controllers. This is really crazy.
You know, you just actually gave me a good idea when you just talked about it's true. If we don't pay our personal debts, we get bill collectors. I think if we send one to John Boehner's office every night, every morning, right?
No way!
Do it, Steph.
Right?
Do it.
I'm
you know
busy.
What?
Deadbeat. I mean, but the problem is, obviously, you know, we've been following this again. It's, you know, here we go again time. But apparently the White House has ruled out the 14th Amendment. They've ruled out the trillion-dollar coin. How is this going to play out differently? John Boehner just yesterday said, the American people want cuts before we raise the debt ceiling. That is, first of all, patently untrue, right?
That's exactly right. Although, the American people may in a poll say they want to spend less, and then you say, what do you want to spend less on? Social Security, Medicare, nuclear inspectors, and then it's no. I think the new player on the field, or at least the more visible player on the field, ought to be, if they're not, Wall Street, the business community, because it is economic disaster for our country, but also for all of the essential players in the economy. And so I'm hoping that the mostly Republican large corporate executives and businesses and Wall Street weigh in and grab these people by the collar and say, are you crazy? The consequences are so bad. And if you think that the right-wingers are the only ones that are going to play in the next election, you are mistaken. Yep. The Chamber of Commerce could play a role, the Business Roundtable, et cetera, could play an important role here, and some reality check with some of these. Now, some of us have introduced legislation that would actually repeal the debt ceiling, this whole idea of setting this debt ceiling. It's only us and Denmark that has a debt ceiling in all the countries of the right. world. And we should just get rid of that rule.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, it's interesting, to your other point, none of the Newt Gingrich made that point, that the financial community is going to come in. So he basically said, it's a political loser. Stop bluffing about it because you're not going to do it. So, that's the problem, though, is we saw the same talking points again yesterday, right, from Mitch McConnell and John Boehner.
Yeah, the John Boehner part scares me because I thought maybe we'll have a template that was set when we raised taxes on the wealthiest and extended the middle class tax cuts. That is that John Boehner calls a bill, those Republicans who feel like they have to vote no, and with a majority of Democrats in a bipartisan way, some Republicans, most of the Democrats vote for the bill and it passes. And I think if we go forward, just drop this debt ceiling craziness, or vote to increase the debt ceiling, and also with the continuing resolution and the sequester, that we do things in a bipartisan way, but not necessarily with a majority of the majority in the House.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Here's the president yesterday talking about his appointments.
I would just suggest that everybody kind of wait until they've seen all my appointments, who's in the White House staff and who's in my cabinet, before they rush to judgment.
It just reminds me, Congresswoman, we talked about this yesterday, that we are really, at least you are, trying to govern in unprecedented times, right? Because we have not seen this before. Not only the hostage crisis over the debt limit, we have never seen that before. We've never seen every nominee that the president either is rumored to put forward or put forward that they oppose just because the president is for it, right?
Certainly in the 14 years that I've been here, but I think some of those issues like the debt ceiling, this is absolutely new territory.
Yeah. Yeah, even the Republican Party, we have just not seen a version of it that it was willing to take, right, the United States' whole faith and credit hostage.
No, we've never seen that, but in addition, we've never seen the kind of use of the filibuster that we see now to stop everything. And as you said, the blocking of appointments. There's always been this courtesy to the president of the United States to at least have hearings and debates about these nominees. Person to stop it.
Right. And the way the mainstream media covers it drives me insane, because literally the president will be accused of not, using bipartisan outreach enough when he nominates a Republican, yeah. Chuck Hagel. What?
I know, and he doesn't have enough beer parties or something.
Right.
Socializing, Yeah, I know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what about, obviously the other thing the president addressed was gun legislation. And, if it's not different this time, Congresswoman, I don't know when it will be. If you watched any of those Sandy Hook families yesterday,
Wasn't that stunning?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I think that there's a new reality in this country, and the debate has fundamentally changed. And if you look at the polling, for example, 95% of Americans think there ought to be background checks for everyone, universal background checks. And that includes 90% of gun owners and a majority of NRA members. The NRA now is really the spokesperson, the lobbyist for the gun manufacturers. They want to create paranoia. We've seen it over and over again. So the people who go out and buy guns, saying that the president is going to take them away, that your life is in danger if you don't have a Bushmaster or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the Second Amendment is not in danger. For all that, I'm going to try and avoid some phone calls for you, Stephanie, that the Second Amendment is not in danger. We are not going to repeal that. We're not going to take guns away from everyone. But the majority of Americans now are saying, and the Supreme Court said too, that you can do stronger regulations of guns. And we regulate guns less than we regulate baby toys. I think that for most Americans, the debate is over. We've got to do something.
Well, and do it piecemeal if you have to. Can't reasonable people agree that you should close the gun show loophole because 40% of the guns out there are bought by people with absolutely no background check?
Yeah.
You know, can't we agree that, you know, there's 2 million mentally ill people missing from the databases? How is this all not a recipe for, you know, the next disaster?
And you know, with executive authority, the president can make the enforcement of the law. There are people who have been denied guns because they didn't pass a background check, and that is illegal. And yet there's only been something like 40 prosecutions out of 80,000, some number like that. But anyway, so enforcing the law is a good start. But there are some obvious things. I, for the life of me, can't figure out why any individual needs to have some weapon that can shoot 100 rounds in a matter of minutes,
yeah.
Less than a minute. And I'm hoping that part of the package that is proposed by the president after he looks at the Biden recommendations is a ban on military-style assault weapons as well as those magazines, the assault magazines.
Yeah, I don't think you can say it any clearer than General McChrystal says, you know, the guns that we use in Afghanistan have no business on the streets of America.
The fact is those guns are intended to be able, without being a really great shot, to kill a lot of people at once. That's their intention. And we don't need that on the streets of Chicago or in classrooms in Sandy Hook or anywhere in the world,
yep.
In the country.
Absolutely. Representative Jan Schakowsky, you are a delight.
Thank you, Seth. How are you?
Aww.
All right.
I appreciate that.
Talk to you again soon. All right.
Okay.
There
bye-bye.
She goes, Representative Jan Schakowsky, who rocks.
She does rock.
Yeah. Arlene in Alabama, real quick on that same subject. Hi, Arlene.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Excuse me for clearing my throat.
Oh, it's all right.
I tried to get through yesterday because I have a lot of comments about a database for the mentally ill.
Uh-huh.
I think this is the wrong thing to look at to start with. We have a lot of laws that make our personal medical information private. This would be demonizing and stigmatizing millions of innocent people.
Right, but Arlene,
two of
these latest shooters, Jared Loughner and I forget the other, the Virginia Tech shooter,
yeah.
They both passed background checks despite, you know, being not only mentally ill, but go ahead.
They had contact with any medical professional. How will you get on the database when you go to the doctor? Somebody that's seeking help is
right.
Not the one that needs to be on the database. I don't know how you find this guy that's crazy and doesn't go to the doctor.
Right.
But
well,
I hear you.
Look, no, there, you know, Darlene, there's nothing that is a perfect solution. But, you know, we did the article. We posted that yesterday
mm-hmm.
from the LA Times. It's just the NRA is fighting any kind of, I mean, literally, they have fought it to the degree that you have to be basically have already been violent with guns
right.
And schizophrenic and institutionalized before you're on the database. Really? Do you think it should be that extreme? I mean, it's, you know,
absolutely
I
not.
Get her concerns. But anyway, 45 minutes after the hour, right back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human antidepressant. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Oh, I forgot about the cameras again.
Yeah.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jasmine in Ohio. Hi, Jasmine.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I spoke yesterday. Just one comment on a couple of things. At what point do we separate mental health from HIPAA law? And at what point do we look at people with mental health issues or people that are even suspected of mental health issues and preclude them from gun ownership? I agree with the lady from Alabama about demonizing people with mental health issues. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with that.
Right.
And on what...
right, but she also, Jasmine, as I recall, she has, you know, depression. I'm just saying, I don't think anybody thinks that what Jared Loughner, Adam Lanza had, it was simple depression, right? I mean, there is a difference.
Yeah.
And
I would absolutely agree, but they did pass background checks.
They did.
Right.
And, you know, obviously they did have some serious mental health issues, so there needs to be a comprehensive reform there. But
right.
We still have to keep in mind privacy and personal rights.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I know, I understand. I mean, I get her point and yours, but, you know, I'm just saying there's a lot to be, like, fixed about everything to do with this problem, in my opinion. All right, Jezebel.com brings us Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
Once again, sponsors a bill that would make it possible for women's rapists to sue them. The war on women's back on!
Great.
They say if Paul Ryan does run in 2016, well, we know he'll be going full speed with the crazy, making it impossible for him to win and Hillary will be president, then everyone will win. Whatevs, back to Ryan being an idiot with his morals stuck in all the wrong holes. In an unsurprising turn of events, Ryan has signed on as a co-sponsor to the Sanctity of Human Life Act again. The original bill, which declares life begins at fertilization, you know, that one.
Hmm.
You know, zygotes can have, you know, mortgages and stuff.
Sure.
Would give states the right to ban all abortion, even in cases involving incest, rape, or the life of the mother. Thankfully died in Congress in 2011. Now it's back, which is scary because not only is the above terrifying, there's all sorts of other creepy hidden in this monster. Like if a woman who was raped in a state that banned abortions went to a state that didn't ban abortions and had an abortion, her rapist could theoretically sue to stop the abortion from happening.
What?
And probably win. And it doesn't stop there with the reproductive weirdness of it passed. It would probably make many forms of IVF illegal. Luckily, it's almost for sure going to die again, but I wonder if Ryan's career will go the way of the dodo bird soon after. One would hope so. One would hope so.
In no circumstance should a rapist be able to sue
it's insane.
The victim.
It's, it really is. Wow. All right. Just when I thought I could not dislike Governor Rick Scott anymore. Now you know what? This is something Ro Flair Mary and I would agree on.
Okay.
Dog lovers that we are. So, you know, the 2010 campaign, Governor Rick Scott, he got all this good press for rescuing a Labrador puppy.
Uh-huh.
He gave it back after the he used it as a prop.
And you may have been put down at the shelter, you know.
Shortly after winning the Republican nomination, he announced to the world through Facebook his family had, had rescued a Labrador retriever. With help from his Facebook friends, he named it Reagan. Aw, isn't that
as in Ronald,
commentators were ecstatic congratulating him for getting a rescue dog instead of the purebred and blah, blah, blah. So this story goes on and on, them trying to get an answer as to what happened to the dog.
Yeah.
And, like, one spokesperson after another, we don't know.
We'll get
back to you.
Look at that.
No, I don't. Somebody will
Mitt Romney put it on the roof of his car.
Yeah. On Monday, the Times finally asked the governor to clear up the mystery. He said he was a rescue dog and he couldn't be around anybody that was carrying anything, so he wouldn't get better.
Huh?
What, there's a thing called training.
Yeah.
You generally, what? He said Reagan never bit anybody but scared the daylights out of people at the mansion. A photographer said the dog barked. Oh, has that ever happened before?
Oh, dog barking.
Dog's barking?
The dog barked like crazy every time he saw him with a camera.
But.
Okay. So the Scots say they gave the dog back to his prior owner about a month after they moved into the mansion. Campaign prop. J'accuse.
Rick Scott is just getting more and more unpopular as the days go on.
Yeah.
All right. We mentioned that it was, what is going on? Clarence Thomas spoke. He broke his nearly 7-year silence at the Supreme Court, as we mentioned earlier. But no one is exactly
sure.
He said herp derp. No one's exactly, it was close enough, Jim. No one's exactly sure what he said. It was some, they were joking about people that went to either Yale or Harvard, and a bunch of justices were speaking and laughing at the same time. So the court reporter, all they got was, well, he did not. And that's it.
Wow.
7 years, that's what he has contributed to the legal discourse in this country.
Not even in
apart from what he said.
Right, exactly. I said he briefly misplaced his what Scalia said stamp, and he felt the need to utter something. Okay. Dad visits kid school, doesn't hear liberty in the Pledge of Allegiance, and threatens he has spilled blood before and will again. People are getting a little...
titchy.
A little nutty. A little titchy out there. In reaction to his protest of how kids were saying the pledge, a county sheriff's deputy had to be stationed at Mill Creek Elementary School near Geneva, Illinois. Colin McGrody didn't hear the word liberty clearly enough, so he sent what the school deemed as threatening emails. He also spoke in front of the children and told them to go home and ask their parents about Hitler.
Okay, sure. We got our Hitler reference in before the end of the show.
Wow. Okay. Tucson City Councilman who held a gun buyback leaving Republican Party. Good for him. Tucson City Council member Steve Kozachik, am I saying that right? He held a gun buyback on the second anniversary of the shooting of Gabrielle Giffords. He's decided to switch from Republican to Democrat. He wrote that Arizona's Republican Party is being driven by a small but vocal faction that has taken it far to the political right. The Arizona Republican Party, he said, is an ideological outlier. I am not, and see nothing that indicates that leadership is inclined to move in any direction but further away from what I believe are the values of this community. Good for you.
Tucson's a good progressive city.
Reagan was for gun control. Okay, yep. Just saying. Okay. Trish in Oregon before we go. Hello, Trish. Welcome. Hi, Trish. Okay. Oh. Ken in the Adirondacks. You get to close instead. Hi, Ken.
Hey, guys.
Hi, go ahead. Yes.
My niece was killed by the assault weapon of the time in 82 by a Mini Ruger 14. Estranged relationship. Sister and husband had shared custody back and forth. He got coked up, beat her, raped her, killed the baby, killed herself when she escaped and went and got cops. So you got to register guns, and you have to register people. And if they get wacky, if they have problems, then you take away the guns.
Right.
We just can't be held, but you know, by the tyranny of the 1% of the NRA.
Yep, absolutely. Well said. That does it for us today. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.